to 2. The actual verse that Fred will be speaking from is one of the Beatitudes, which is, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word that you have shown to us, that we might know you, and in particular that we might know your mercy. We ask you, Lord, to be with Fred as he helps expound your scriptures, and be with us as we listen, that you might open not only our minds to understand, but also our hearts to live by what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
As James already mentioned, we are working through the Beatitudes, and today we are up to number 5, and you can find them in Matthew 5, and just let me remind you of it, Matthew 5, verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." That's our text for today. Now, last week we met as a men's group, and during our study, one of the brothers reminded us that our relationship with God always has to be worked out among people, in human relationships. And he used the example of a man who had found peace with God, and the next thing he did was building a shack on a lonely mountainside where he had never to meet people again, where he could just enjoy his peace with God. And we all agree that that could not be God's intention, how to spend our lives. Our peace with God needs to be tested in our relationships with people. And the challenge, of course, is to maintain our peace and joy while interacting with people. Now, I thought of this when I was preparing this sermon on the Beatitudes. Could a recluse experience the blessings Jesus speaks about, sitting in the loneliness of his mountain hut? Up to a point, he can, I think. He can be poor in spirit. He can be mourning because of his sins. He can be meek. He can hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then he gets stuck. He cannot be merciful. For being merciful is not a state of your heart when confronted with God's holiness, but being merciful is taking action where someone has a need that you can meet. So mercy is reaching out to people in need. And you can hardly do that on your own in your mountain hut. And that's why I like to title my sermon, Faith in Action. And faith in action means that whatever you say you believe, it all means nothing if you do not put it into practice. So today, we have to test ourselves. See, if we have congratulated ourselves that we have made the first four Beatitudes our own, then number five will prove whether we have rightfully done so. Are we merciful? And how merciful are we, really? Do we reach out to those who need our assistance? Because that is what this beatitude is all about. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, first thing I like to say is this, that we cannot use this as a general truth among people. We do have sayings that suggest so. Doing good has its reward, meaning treat people well and you will be treated well. Show mercy and you will be shown mercy, something like that. Now, that might be a common saying or expectation, but it seldom works like that. And Jesus himself is a point in case. If ever anyone was good to people, was merciful to all around him, it was him, Jesus. But they hated him without reason, and he ended up on a horrible cross. No mercy for him. So friends, let's get this one right. This is not a general truth that applies among people, but this is a blessing that only God can give to those he wants to give it. God promises you, be merciful to people, and I will be merciful to you. So this is a kind of promise. And a promise requires faith to act on such a promise. Can you see that? It requires faith to be merciful indeed. It requires trust in God that whenever you reach out to people at a personal cost, that God will reward you. Not that you do that to score points with him, but it's rather this. Knowing that you have been shown mercy by God makes it a matter of course to you that you are merciful to others. And we hope to work out this point in the sermon. Now, I need to mention here that being merciful or showing mercy is not something that we naturally or easily do. Actually, in Jesus' time, this was quite an extraordinary teaching. Showing mercy was not part of the makeup of people. As you know, Israel at that time was under Roman rule. And especially to them, being merciful was unthinkable. Why would you do that? Mercy was considered a foolish weakness in people, and especially in men. If a woman would beg for the life of herself and her children after her husband had been killed by a Roman soldier, it was an honor for the same soldier to mercilessly kill the whole family and never to be moved by the tears of a woman. Be merciless. Be cruel. That proves that you're a real Roman. That was the kind of thinking in that time. And though in Israel it was perhaps not that bad, people would do the same to each other, being very judgmental and judging people all around, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, and they were never showing any mercy to anyone. You don't have to think of that woman that was brought before the Lord Jesus, the woman that had caught in adultery. And it felt so right for them to judge that woman. And then Jesus showed his mercy. Now, you can imagine that in such a culture, this beatitude sounds outrageous. But I fear in our time it's not really different. We only have to think how people treat each other in Africa. I shiver every time I hear about what's going on in Sudan or in Zimbabwe or in Western Africa. Without any consideration for weaker ones, people are merciless as soon as they have power. And if I hear about it, see something of it, I can only think, oh God, be merciful to these people. Put an end to these cruelties. But before we place ourselves out of the picture here, let's be honest. We may be a bit more civilized here in Australia, but how merciful is our society? How merciful are we? See, most people feel, well, be merciful and you'll be taken advantage of. You better watch your own interests, for nobody else will. You have to harden your heart when confronted with other people's misery, otherwise you have no life. Yeah, we call that individualism. Look after yourself and forget about the rest. Merciless. Now, I know it is not easy to find answers when you are really confronted with utter misery. I know the sense of heart-sinking feeling of total powerlessness when you see people living in abject poverty, when you smell the hopelessness of their situation. What can you do? Being merciful in such a situation is much more than feeling sympathy or compassion for people. Mercy is actually doing something. But what? And often it's so little that you can do. I believe that for every one of us to visit a place like India or Myanmar will be a life-changing experience. You look in a different way at your own life and who you are and what to do, what to make of your own life. As I said, mercy is not an emotion. It is an action. It is faith put to practice. This week I spoke to someone who wondered what we meant with the term ministry of mercy in our church. We often call that's the task of the deacons, we say, the ministry of mercy. Now let me use this opportunity to explain a little bit about that. Just a few words. As church, we are given to each other as brothers and sisters. And in the Lord's eyes, we are all the same people. People who live by the grace of God. But with regard to our physical circumstances, we are all very different. We have people with all kind of needs. We have lonely people, we have sick people, we have poor people, we have people with physical handicaps, we have overly busy people living with stress, etc. And our church, we're not like our society does, close our eyes for it. We're not allowed to do that. We have to see those needs and do something about it. That is mercy. That is faith in action. You see someone is lonely? Be merciful. Go for a visit. You see someone is sick? Be merciful. Try to help. You see someone who struggles to make ends meet? Be merciful. Give support. See, being merciful is a very practical thing. So we have our deacons to remind us of our calling to be merciful wherever we can. Well, that's what we call the ministry of mercy. Now you will realize, hopefully, that you can't do that, involved in a ministry like that, if you have withdrawn yourself in a mountain hut. Or perhaps not in a mountain hut, but in the safe reclusion of your own comfortable home. So the message is, get out, be merciful, do something. But friends, I don't want you to do that just because I'm telling you so. Or because you're driven by a bad conscience or a guilt feeling. No, your motive for being merciful must come from the right source. And that's the main point of this sermon. I believe the source for us being merciful is God Himself. And we heard this morning, Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Now, what kind of mercy does the psalmist seek? What's his problem? Well, it's his sins. He knows his guilt. He knows he has something, he's done something wrong, and it weighs heavily on his conscience. And there's no way that it can be made right again apart from pleading for mercy with God. Only God can change how he feels about his sins. God doesn't have to listen. He doesn't have to forgive. But Lord, listen to my cry for mercy. Without your mercy, without God's mercy, we have no hope of having a relationship with God. I have no hope of receiving life for my soul unless God shows mercy. That's Psalm 130. O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now we move to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians 2, chapter 4. By nature we were all dead in our sins, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. And here we find the word mercy again. God is rich in mercy. Why? Because he loves us. His love motivates him to apply his mercy so that dead sinners can come alive. That dead sinners can become living saints. He didn't treat us as we deserved. He didn't leave us where we were. But he acted in mercy. And sometimes people think that mercy is just letting people get away with things. Kind of slackness or weakness. Now God's not like that at all. God's mercy is certainly not a form of slackness. It's certainly not so that he actually feels for punishing the sin, but then he decides to be merciful and let it go, like we often do with our children. But God's not like that. God's not only merciful, but the Bible teaches us that God is also just. And that means that sins need to be punished. There's no way around that for a righteous God. But listen to what he did in his love that led him to be merciful towards us. He himself provided a sacrifice in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. He punished our sins in him. And Jesus took it all so that we might receive forgiveness for all our sins. So let our understanding of God's mercy never lead us to think that you can sin your life away, and by the time you will be judged, that you can always plead for mercy. Then it's too late. There's no mercy for sinners on Judgment Day anymore. But surely, mercy is available now, today. Because mercy led God to sacrifice the life of his only Son as an atonement for our sin. Now the next step. If you've understood that it was God's mercy that saved you from sin and death, then that very understanding should have an impact on your life and the way you treat others. Being a receiver of God's mercy makes you a merciful person. It can be otherwise. Do you remember Jesus' parable about a guy who owed his king a huge amount of money? And when he was called before the king, he pleaded for mercy. And his debt was cancelled. Now that same day, this guy met someone who owed him a bit. And when this man pleaded for patience, the first guy showed no mercy. And he threw him in prison. And when the king hears about this, he is saddened and angry with his servant. And he says this, "You wicked servant, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me. So should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" See, that's the point. Receiving from mercy from God is one thing. But if you, as a response to that, are not merciful toward others who are dependent on your mercy, then God's mercy for you is reversed. So test yourself. Is God's mercy for you just a beautiful theory for you that you rejoice in on Sundays? whenever you hear about God's grace and mercy and love for you? Or has God's mercy turned you into a merciful person? Luke 6, which renders Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, there Jesus puts it like this: be merciful just as your Father in heaven is merciful. See, to be a true child of God, you have to walk in the footsteps of your Father. It's not that showing mercy can make you a child of God. It's the other way around. Once you truly have become a child of God, you will act like Him. You are merciful. That's actually one of the reasons why God called you to be His child. Why God called you from death to life. And we read it in Ephesians 2. The whole exercise of God making dead people alive in Christ by showing us mercy has a definite purpose, and it's this: we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And that means we are to be merciful, just like God was merciful. Now we come to the end. Let's be a bit practical about all this. How are we to be merciful? Now I can see two main areas where we have to show mercy. One is the material area. And I mentioned already some of that. Yeah? Provide food for the hungry and clothes for the naked and housing for the homeless. Provide company for the lonely and comfort for the grieving. All those things. Sure, I know we can think of 100 reasons for not involving ourselves with that. We have no time, we're busy anyway with our own family, and we have our own worries and all these things. We may even say, oh, those people have brought it on themselves. It's their problem. Or saying, I do not know what to say to a mourning person. Heaps of excuses. But I have found this too. A merciful person can never be satisfied with his own excuses. He will recognize them for what they are and still will do something. Knowing how much mercy we were shown by God, we will always ask, now what can we do for others? Second area, this was material. Second area is a spiritual area. If you know the blessing that has come to you by being poor in spirit, by mourning over your sin, by relying on God in all meekness, by hungering and thirsting for righteousness and have that fulfilled, you wish that others would find the same. You develop a compassion for the lost. That's included by Jesus by being merciful to people. Give up your judgments about poorly behaving people. Stop blaming people for running into all kind of troubles. It might well be true that many people create their own private hell, but you, as a person motivated by mercy, want to do anything to set them free from that, don't you? I believe it's an act of mercy too, to rebuke a sinning brother or sister and snatch them from the fire in mercy. That's what the Bible says. Oh friends, let's be merciful. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Because we feel that way. Because we are growing into the likeness of our Father in heaven. And you know what? When we show mercy to people around us, God will even show us more mercy. I suggested in the beginning, you think your acts of mercy will create a lot of thankfulness in people around you, you will be disappointed. And if for that reason you have given up being merciful to anyone, you have not understood God's mercy for you. But if you remain merciful in spite of 1,000 disappointments in people, you show that you are a child of the kingdom of heaven. And the King himself will make sure that you will be shown a lot of mercy. You need that, believe it. Jesus himself
has promised. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You'll be blessed if you not only believe that, but if you do it. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for speaking to us in your word. Lord, thank you for being merciful to us when we needed it most. Thank you, Lord, for making us aware of our sins and sinfulness and hopeless situation by the convicting power of your Holy Spirit, so that we cry out for mercy and then are received by a merciful Father in heaven, by a merciful Son of God, Jesus Christ, who in his mercy died for us on a cross. Lord, what a wonderful privilege to hear about these things, to believe these things, to make them our own. But it's even more wonderful when we put them into practice and are confirmed time and again. That's how it works, that you do bless people who do whatever you tell them to do. So Lord, keep teaching us that and help us to get rid of lots of excuses why we would not do it. Help us to grow and become more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.